Today's guest is Christy Ord, and I'm not actually sure how we met. Somehow we ended up being Facebook friends, and she runs some events on the Gold Coast called Influential Women. And late last year, she reached out to me to see if I wanted to come along to one of her events, and I said yes. And it was one of those times where I really saw how much I've grown over the last few years. So, you know, being invited to an event and going on my own is always, or not so much these days, but it was always a big deal because of my social anxiety. It makes it really difficult to connect with people. I'm not one of those people who, you know, turns up in a room and is like, "Hi, I'm here. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you." That's just not, it just does not feel natural to me. I'm not one of those people who can approach others. I generally don't because I find it super uncomfortable and I don't really know what to say. But I went to Christy's event and really pushed myself out of my comfort zone, had some really great conversations with some really inspiring women and had a really great time. It was a fun event. And Christy is a fun chick. You know, she really is very passionate about what she does and the transformations that she provides women in particular. And this is a great conversation about living a life aligned with your values. So let's dive in. Welcome to Carlosophy's Stories Behind Success. I'm Carly Nimmo. It's so easy to fall into comparisonitis as an entrepreneur, and it can be paralyzing. In my own journey, I've come to understand that regardless of your level of success, fame, or fortune, we're all suffering from the same stories of fear, struggle, and failure. So let's talk about it.
At 22 years old, I was, you know, a very, very confused, very unfulfilled young woman who, you know, I did all of the, I guess, the right things that we're told to in society. So I went to university and I didn't, you know, I don't even know why I went to university. I guess it was just one of those things you do after school, right? And so I did that. I went down that path. I studied marketing and HR, and I was really determined to get good grades so I'd be like one of these university students that was drinking Red Bull at 12 in the morning, and, you know, assignments, packets of snakes and Coca-Cola. And, you know, I was so like, oh, if I don't get good grades, then who, you know, what's that going to make me? And so I was really, you know, very stuck in this like societal norm way of living of we have to go to university to get a good job and you have to get good grades. So that was really the path that I took in my earlier days, and I ended up getting that good job. I think it was like $60,000 a year, and I was like, oh, you know, this is great. I've made it, and, you know, I quickly worked up the corporate ladder, and I had a manager position in a HR company. But at the time, I mean, my life was absolute chaos. So I was going to work going, why am I here? Like, what is the meaning of life? Why did I choose to come down this path when I'm not even fulfilled? Like, this is not what I want to be doing. Am I going to be doing this until I'm 65 and I can have some freedom in my life? So I remember questioning most days going into that office going, what, like, what am I doing? At the same time, I guess because I was so unfulfilled and so incomplete and not happy, there was all this other stuff going on. So I was in a very, you know, emotionally abusive relationship. It was very, very toxic, and it was putting a lot of stress into my life, into both of our lives. You know, my finances were out of control. I'd gotten in a heap of debt at such a young age, and I had that credit rating at like 21, and, you know, so I had financial problems, and then I had health problems. So I used to get bronchitis like every 4 to 6 weeks, and I had a chronic digestive problem where I couldn't actually break down and absorb food correctly. And so I was always getting sick, and, you know, so there was just so much going on at the time. And I guess the way that I masked all of that or dealt with all of that was to then self-destruct, you know, with my body. And so I would turn to foods, and I would abuse my body with really unhealthy foods. And I'd go on these huge binge eating sessions and just eat as many Pringles and chocolates and Coca-Cola and Red Bull as I possibly could to to mask these symptoms and to feel a little bit fulfilled, I guess, is what I felt at the time with self-destruction. And then on the other hand, I was drinking every night and I was partying every night and I was, you know, taking party drugs and I was doing all these things because I just was so unfulfilled. And so got to a point where this was all going on and, you know, I obviously created that in some way. However, you know, so I really got, I started to realize that why have I actually created what I've created in my life? And then I was really lucky that a good friend of mine who had gone through a massive personal transformation in his life, he sat me down one day and he was like, right, Christy, like, you don't need to be living like this. This is ridiculous. You're miserable. You're unfulfilled. You know, you could totally go and create your own business. You could go and create your life so that you're happier and more fulfilled. You know, you can get your health back on track. You don't need to be taking antibiotics and medications all the time. And I was like, what? Are you serious? And I kind of was really shaken up by this conversation. But I remember going home that evening and I was like lying in bed and my head was spinning with all of this stuff. And I was like, is this true? Could I actually be doing more with my life? Could I actually turn my life around? And then just remember, it was like a light went on inside of me. And I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to change everything, but I'm going to get out of this mess. And so within 30 days, I broke up with my boyfriend. I quit my career in HR. I lost 22 kilos. I went down this huge journey of health and fitness and happiness, and I started surrounding myself with more successful and like-minded people. And then I decided that I really wanted to get into my own business because I'd always been interested in business. But when you go to university and study business, it's more to run somebody else's. So I sort of started to get the concept that I could use those same skills and knowledge but actually apply it to something that I wanted to build. And so really the last 6 years, I thought it was going to be a health and business transformation, but it's been so much more. There's been so many challenges. There has been so many ups. There's been, I've had a nervous breakdown and was basically living out of my car at one point over the last 6 years, and I've had different businesses. And so really it's been a complete, complete life overhaul of spirituality, of health, of fitness, of relationships. You know, I'm now in a relationship with somebody who is completely my soulmate, and it's everything I wanted, of business and of personal freedom. And I think that's the biggest thing to me is what I've really gotten from this is that once we do that work on ourselves, once we do that internal work, once we do that personal transformation work, we can experience this state of personal freedom, which, you know, to me looks like happiness and contentment and fulfillment in all areas without something bogging us down all the time. And for so many years, or for most of my life, I always felt like there was something bogging me down or dragging me down.
Yeah. I totally relate to that. I mean, your story is similar to mine and not like mine. Yeah, but I was the same. I went to uni because I didn't really know what the fuck else to do, mm-hmm. you know? And then worked my way up. It took a little longer for me. I think, oh, well, you know, I was about 23, I think, when I was working as a sales rep for a large corporate and thinking, what the fuck, is this really all there is? And so for me, you know, it's been, at that point, I think was when I was probably about 25 when I quit my job and moved away to Byron Bay and, you know, followed love and whatever. But then since then, it's been, you know, the biggest 15 years of my life. So those 6 years that you've spent since that 2 minute conversation, what have been the highs and the lows?
Great question. So, okay, I'm going to tell you the lows first.
Yeah, let's do those.
Let's do that.
Let's just lows. Then we can go to the highs. So my low moments were that, and it's really interesting because I actually spoke at an event last week and it was all around entrepreneurial fuck-ups, and it was super awesome to actually speak about this, and I'm so glad that you have this no bullshit approach and just let's talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, because I think it's really important for other people that are going on the journey to understand this stuff because
yeah,
it's not...
You know, the reason that I am so passionate about it is because we're so taught, we're so sold this idea of good and bad, and that some things are good and some things are bad, and failure is bad and success is good. But really, I don't necessarily believe that. I don't necessarily believe that failure is a negative thing. I just think of it as a charge, you know, like you have a battery and one has a positive end and one has a negative end, and it's a charge. That's it. Yep. One isn't good or bad. They're just two different charges. So I want to, you know, I'm passionate about talking about the no bullshit stuff, because I feel like we're often all this kind of stuff, failure, our fuck ups, whatever it is, even self-doubt, whatever it is, it keeps us isolated because we're thinking we're alone in it. We're never alone in our shit because everyone has the same shit. Most people just don't talk about it. So for me, it's like I'm really passionate about talking about this stuff because I know from me, depression came from me feeling alone in my struggle. And so, you know, I think it's really important for us to talk about these things without any attachment to it being a good or a bad thing.
Totally. I love that. I love that angle so much. And it's, you know, it is like everyone goes through those moments of going, can I really do this? And, you know, all of these moments of, you know, along the journey of you know, is this like, am I really going to be able to succeed? But as you say, like, even with failures, it's like, I feel failure is a very, very important part of the journey. Like, it's totally necessary. And now I say to people, fail and fail fast, like whatever that means to you, is go through those challenges and learn from them. And then, you know, you can come out at the other side and actually take those lessons and allow yourself to blossom in those ways. So, you know, for me, I guess with the lows that have happened, you know, I was talking about this the other night, which was the biggest thing at the start of my journey was that I got really inspired to start an importing business. And so it was with blenders and juices, and I was talking to all these manufacturers, and, you know, I was dealing with all these people overseas. And anyway, I was like, all right, cool. And so to make it happen, I needed to pre-sell these blenders and juices. And so I did that, and I sold like so many of them. I had orders like coming out of my ears. It was crazy. And so then I went, and basically that allowed me to place an order for these blenders and juices to be delivered. Anyway, then I had major problems with the manufacturer. Like, they weren't getting back to me, and the communication got really poor after I sent all of the money through. And I was like, oh, what's going on here? Anyway, it was like 6 months later, I still hadn't received the blenders and the juices. I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do here? And I had people going, where's my blender? Where's my juicer? And it was just like, it got really chaotic. And then basically, the blender and juices never actually arrived, but a box of sunglasses arrived instead.
No.
So, yes. So, you know, like, I guess I think that was when I was 23, and it was a really big risk to take in business at the time, because it was like, all right, I'm basically going to be giving them thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, and I just put total trust and belief that this was going to happen. Like, you know, and I'd heard other similar stories, like what's the guy who's really, I can't remember his name, a well-known guy in Australia started an importing business. And anyway, he's got a very similar story to me. And so I was like, yeah, cool. Like, he went through all of that. And then, so anyway, after that, I was like, all right, okay, I've had to pay back like thousands of dollars and had very unhappy people, which was terrible. So that was a low point, I guess, along the way. And then I decided that I wanted to start a raw food cafe. So one of the biggest ways that I really got my health issues under control was that I started eating organic, plant-based, and mostly raw food. And so I was really inspired by my own transformation and wanted to share that with others. And then I said, like, I had no money to even start a cafe, but I just started saying to people, because I started to understand the concept of manifestation. So I started saying to people, you know, I'm gonna open a raw food cafe. And people kept saying to me, oh, how are you going to do that? And I was like, oh, don't worry about how. Like, that's not important, but I'm going to be opening a raw food cafe, and it's going to be this year. Anyway, so out of the blue, about 6 months after I started saying this, I got a phone call from someone, and he said, look, we really want someone to start a raw food cafe next to our gym. We think that it's going to be really great for clientele and to get new clientele in, and the cafe's already set up. So you can basically come in and, you know, set up shop and start straight away. And I was like, what? And so I did this, and 3 weeks after that conversation, I had an up-and-running cafe. It was very popular at the time because raw food was really taking off, and there was not really anyone offering that in Brisbane at the time. So, you know, so it was awesome. We had this business that was thriving pretty much from day one. But then the next low came in the business journey, which was I went to Bali to study a raw food chef course. And this was about 6 months into my cafe. So I went over there for 3 weeks and I had typhoid poisoning. And I was chronically ill. I literally thought I was going to die. Anyway, I came home and I was told by doctors that I really needed to look after my immune system and I needed to rest as much as possible. And I was really going through a healing process. However, I had this cafe which was pumping and I wanted to expand it. And so I was like, forgot about my health basically, and I was like, right, like what have we got to do with the business? And so we ended up expanding the business. We were going through a process of opening another cafe at the time. We had a detox program, we had workshops that we ran very frequently, we had a catering side to the business, we had a juice cleanse side, we had a detox side, and basically the business ended up within a couple of weeks having 7 different sides to it. So it went from a cafe to, you know, having multiple different areas. Anyway, so I was working so much. Like I had this business and it was impacting others and it was contributing to other people's health, and I was teaching so many people about how to take control of their health through raw food living. But what ended up happening was I was working 18-hour days, and I did this month after month after month. And, you know, I had gone through that experience of typhoid, so my health wasn't actually in the best state after I came back. So what ended up happening was, like, customers were coming in and going, are you okay? Like, are you sure everything's okay with you? Like, everyone was starting to pick up that things were a little bit off with me. And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. And I guess my natural state is I'm quite fiery and I'm always quite busy and multi-passionate. So I kind of just pushed through and kept going and going and going. What ended up happening was I, at 25, had a nervous breakdown and I had chronic adrenal fatigue. I woke up one day and I literally, like, my eyes opened, but I remember this really strange feeling that, like, my physical body wouldn't work. Like, I literally couldn't get out of bed because I was that exhausted and I had just, my body just stopped working. And so it was a very challenging few weeks because I was sort of trying to go to the cafe, but it was really quite impossible. So I had my manager and staff looking after it. And then I was going to naturopaths and trying to find out how to get better. And they were saying, you know, it's going to take 18 to 2 years for you to start actually feeling like a normal person again. So that was a low point because I had to make a really big decision, and it was like my baby that I started. Like, I started this cafe and I'd helped so many people, but I wasn't helping myself. Mm. And so, you know, I made a decision at that point to sell it and to walk away. And that ended up becoming the lowest point of my entire life because I was completely exhausted. I just, like, lost this thing and my identity. Like, my identity really became this person who was like a raw food chick and at this cafe, right? So I'd lost my identity. I'd lost a lot of money through the process. I'd lost my health. And I ended up becoming quite depressed and anxious, and I had suicidal thoughts at that time.
Yeah.
So that was the next low point. And honestly, like, I could speak about low points for forever, but I feel like those were the two biggest ones along the journey, was that, you know, not only from a business point of view, things sort of really suffered, but also, you know, most importantly, my health went down again. And so since then, and if we want to talk about the highs, that's what I'll move into, I completely reshaped my entire life. So I started to look at, well, what is it that makes humans feel fulfilled? What is it that makes humans flourish? What is it that actually makes us happy? Because I wasn't happy. Like, I had this business and I had this, like, identity as the raw food chick, and I had all this stuff going for me, but I was still miserable. Like, I still wasn't happy. So So I started to go on this process of going, all right, well, how do I get myself out of this mess? Like, I'm quite resilient. So although I had depression and anxiety and suicidal thoughts and really bad adrenal fatigue, I was still very resilient to get myself out of that. And then what I've done since, in the last couple of years, I've really reshaped my life. So I started to look at, well, what are my values and how do I design a life around what I value most? Because my biggest value is actually freedom. But yet working in the cafe 18 hours a day was not giving me freedom. I just bought myself a job. So then I realized that I had compromised against my values. And so now my life is built, and these are the highest moments of my life because, you know, now I have a life where, you know, I live location free when I want. Like, I'm not tied to an office. I'm not tied to a physical business anywhere. You know, I'm in the relationship that I love. My health's really good. I'm about to have a baby in 6 months. You know, we sorted out our finances. So we got on top of all of this stuff after that low moment. And what I came across was positive psychology, which is the study of the science actually behind human happiness, human fulfillment, and how we really go from surviving to completely thriving in our life. And so the highs now are based around, I actually teach this to women and I help women go from surviving to thriving. I help women take what's within them and, you know, and blossom and show their greatness to the world.
Okay, so I've got some questions because I was walking on the beach this morning and I've been thinking about struggle. First of all, I want to say about the values thing. Like, I do a lot of values work myself and love it. But what I also find is a lot of people don't really go about defining what the value means. So they're like, I value freedom, but they don't consider what freedom means to them.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of why I ask the questions that I ask on the couch section, because like when I get to that question about freedom, I'm always surprised about how many people are like, not really sure, you know, because they say that that's what they value, but then haven't painted a picture of what it looks like. What came to me while I was walking on the beach this morning was just the idea of struggle. And you were talking about positive psychology before. And I guess the question that I have right now is whether or not we can ever be fully free of struggle.
Great question. So it's like this whole 80-20 thing, right? And I believe that, and I was talking to a client yesterday, I was like, there's always going to be something. Like, no matter how hard we try to have complete wholeness in our life, you know, so we get on top of our health, we get on top of our relationships, we get on top of all this stuff, I guess there's always these things that pop up. And so it's a really interesting question because I would have to say, no, I don't know if we're ever completely free of any type of struggle, but it's how we choose to deal with those things that show up. So it's not like, you know, I think even Richard Branson, who we all look up to, you know, is this amazing entrepreneur, like he would deal with struggles most days, I would say. And I also think the more that you put yourself through growth and through transformation, that the more that there are going to be more struggles because there's more of the shadow of yourself that you see. There's more stuff to work through. There's, you know, it's that road to personal freedom comes with a lot of struggle. And I don't know if we ever get to a point where we are in complete enlightenment or complete bliss or whatever it is, because, you know, we might feel like we're there.
I'm not really sure that we would have any purpose to be here if we were free of that, because then we've done the work.
Yeah, it's the human, it's that human experience, right? It's like, well, we're here to experience the highs and the lows and the challenges and the struggles. And, you know, I it's funny because any stage where I feel like I do get to this place of complete fulfillment and contentment, and then it's like, you know, something will pop up and I'm like, all right, cool, a new challenge to deal with. You know, yeah, all right, yeah. How are we going to deal with that one? What am I going to learn from this experience? So, yeah, and I think struggles are just simply an experience.
Yeah. when you were talking about the early days and you had said that you were, you know, you kind of found yourself working this corporate job and then, you know, what's the meaning of life? You were at the destination, it wasn't all that great. And then you mentioned when you had the raw food cafe that a similar thing happened, but in a different kind of way. So you found yourself back at a place where, you know, you weren't looking after you and you'd found yourself in the destination, but still something was missing. So
yeah.
I'd love to know what has been the transformation that's occurred between that person and you? Because, I mean, that person is you, of course. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, there's definitely been some mindset shifts, right, for you as to – so what is it that shifted? Is it was it that you realized the destination was within, or, like, what kind of things shifted to transform you from who you were to who you are now?
It was really the internal work. So it was really getting to know myself on a deeper level. So it was, like, deeper level self-awareness. So getting to know exactly who I was, who, like, because I lost myself, you know. It was like, well, who, like, even though I had this, I guess, identity that I built for myself and this business and I was making impact and contribution, I still didn't know who I was. So that was that next part of the process of going to where I am now. It was like, all right, well, who am I? Like, what are my strengths? What are the areas that, you know, I would thrive in my life? What am I really good at? How do I bring that to life? And also really going through the internal work. So every day I have a really strong internal process that I go through. And there's a huge difference on days that I do that and days that I don't. But also it was very much about recognizing that happiness was a choice and it was within inside of me and I had to find that. It was nothing external. Like, I was trying to find external things to allow me to feel fulfilled and happy. So, you know, that's why I attached myself so much to this business, because I was like, all right, well, this makes me significant, right? Or this makes me happy. But then I hadn't done the internal happiness work. So it's been, you know, the person now is somebody who's been through deep internal transformation and also energetic. Like, I'm really big on energy. And if you'd spoken to me about energy a year and a half ago, I would have said, you're totally woo-woo and that's not my language. But it's been a really big part of my journey now. So really managing, you know, my energy, managing the how I spend my time and who I choose to spend my time with. So, you know, I used to find myself always being drained by people. Like, I just was feeling drained, and I realized that I wasn't actually surrounding myself with people who inspired me or people who supported me or people who respected me. And that was a reflection of what I was doing as well. So there was a lot that started to shift, and there was a lot that, you know, started to change in terms of how I viewed happiness and what I did for, you know, internal success and what I did for mindset success. Yeah, and I just found peace, I guess, within inside of me rather than going to external things for that.
And so how do you view happiness?
It's interesting. I wrote an article the other day. So I view happiness as this feeling of you know, being content and fulfilled with your life. As we spoke about before, I don't know if we get to that place of not feeling struggle, but it's about feeling free of things that are a complete burden. So if we feel like there's still things going on in our childhood or any of that, that can actually really affect our internal state of happiness. And so I really believe, you know, happiness is about doing the work, is about clearing. But it doesn't mean that going through that journey you can't be happy. Like, happiness is something that we tap into and we can choose. Like, every day we can choose to feel happy, and we can ask ourselves, well, how can I choose to feel happy today? Like, we can write that in our journal. But to me, you know, happiness is a feeling. Like, I could go through the science of what, you know, positive psychologists say happiness actually is, but if it's coming from me, it's like, well, it's, you know, it's a choice. It's a simple choice. It's a feeling. It's a state of being. And, you know, I now view happiness and my life as being someone who is happy, of someone who has worked on the childhood stuff and the emotional stuff and the stuff that was keeping me stuck and blocked and making me, or allowing, I was allowing myself to feel stuck So now, you know, that's why I talk a lot about personal freedom and about happiness, because I believe that's really, you know, that's the really important work to do on ourselves in order to really tap into that state. But again, it's not saying that anyone going through a personal journey and going through that work can't choose to be happy in that moment. It's always a choice and it's always within inside of us.
Yeah, so that's actually what I had just written down was, you know, I think particularly for someone who has been, you know, had a history with depression and anxiety, it can feel like happiness is a very elusive thing and that it's something to attain and hang on to, which is, it's a huge gap from where someone is when they are in a dark place to happiness. It feels, but I feel like, you know, and I don't know, I struggle sometimes with the positive psychology thing because of that concept, because it put, for me, it feels like, and it might be just my own reflection from where I am sometimes, but it feels like that happiness is a destination when really I think the underlying concept of it is perhaps instead that happiness, we always have access to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We all, it's that's it. It's like, it's a choice. It's like, all right, well, if I'm feeling miserable or if I'm feeling down, well, we always have a choice to change that, you know, and there's certain, I guess, processes, or there's certain things we can do to allow us to feel better. Like if we're feeling really low, we can go, all right, cool, how can I get myself into a high vibration state? You know, let's put some music on and have a dance party in my living room. And, you know, we all know that that sort of raises endorphins. So, you know, we can do things to allow us to feel better, but it's still a choice. We still have to simply choose to change that feeling.
Yeah. And so I'd also written down, you know, what are some of your favorite practices that you use to keep yourself in a, or not necessarily even keep yourself, but to choose that, to make that choice?
So my biggest one is journaling. So I journal every single morning, and by every single morning, there's days where I don't, and then I really feel when I don't do it. So that's, you know, that's my most powerful practice. So I really find that not having, like, if I used to roll over and turn on my Facebook straight away, and it was like, all right, then I was filled with everyone's news feeds and what everyone was doing and checking messages. And so I don't do that anymore. So I wake up, you know, I don't have Facebook on. I spend time to myself. So whether that's meditating or going for a walk, I do those types of things. But the biggest thing that really helps me to shape my day ahead is journaling. And so, you know, I'll journal about my vision. I'll just do free flow journaling. So I'll go, all right, well, what's within, like, what's coming up within me right now? And I'll just write about it. I'll write about the current goals that I'm working on. I'll write about, you know, I'll ask myself really powerful questions around alignment and around fulfillment and around, you know, what am I inspired by right now? And if I was following my highest joy and excitement today, what would that look like? And so I ask myself a series of questions. And I also will journal about money and about wealth consciousness. And I'll journal about how I'm feeling and how I want to be feeling. If I'm, you know, if I'm sort of in a, say I'm in a tough situation or there's like a conflict or something going on in my life, I'll journal around that and then go, all right, well, you know, if this situation looked differently, what would that look like? And so there's many things that I'll sort of do to really start to get myself clear for the day ahead. And so that's my journaling practice. And then I'll listen. So I'm really big on listening to mindset and listening to audio, listening to personal development. So I will listen to something. This morning I was listening to Happy Pocket Full of Money. It's a fantastic book. So I'll do that. And I spend a lot of time, like, it's interesting now because I used to be one of these people that was always having to be around other people, and I spend a lot of time now on my own because I like that reflection. So a lot of the time when I'm actually talking about, like, internal work, I'm like, all right, well, I just sit and, like, see what's within me, see what's coming up. And I really go through a lot of, like, feeling and energy type work. And so that's kind of the stuff that I'll do on a daily basis. And then, you know, I work with, like, I'll go see energy healers, or I'll go, you know, see a mindset coach, or I'll go see people as well to also help those different parts of my life.
Let's talk a bit about what you do these days.
I've got a couple of businesses. I'm very multi-passionate, which sometimes can be my biggest downfall. but I run something called Influential Women. So I run regular events, and I'm about to franchise that across the country. And I also run, as part of Influential Women, I run business masterminds. So really helping people to unleash their genius, and that's a big part of positive psychology. And so I work with small groups, and we work together for 8 weeks. And then I also do some one-on-one coaching as part of that as well. So really at the moment I'm building the Influential Women. My personal brand is Christy Ord. And I do have two other businesses as well that I, one I work with my partner on, which is a water business. And the other one is around entrepreneurial support. So I've got a team of VAs, and we support entrepreneurs that really need to start working in their zone of genius so they can accelerate and grow, and then they can outsource the things that, you know, aren't really serving their zone of genius.
Yeah, cool. And so what's your vision for the future? I know you're like, you're about to embark on this crazy ass journey, let me tell you.
Yeah.
And you know, what do you see for yourself in the next few years?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So my big thing is around positive psychology and around, you know, helping women and really unlocking their greatness. Like, I see the greatness in pretty much everyone I meet, and I'm like, all right, like, what can we do with this greatness? Like, let's bring it to life. And I love help supporting people to bring their vision to life. And so really what I see with that is, you know, speaking in stages across the world. It's, you know, releasing books. It's really building a personal brand that is global, because, yeah, I feel like there's so much more inside of me to unleash so that I can help others unleash. And so that's really the focus for the next few years is expansion and acceleration. And to me, that looks, you know, like on a global basis.
Yeah, cool. And what about motherhood? What are your hopes for motherhood?
I'm still getting my head around that I'm actually going to be a mom. It's like one of those things. I'm so excited about it, and then like people start talking to me about, have you thought about this and have you thought about that? I'm like, no, I haven't thought about any of that. So yeah,
that's why pregnancy is 9 months. You've got time to figure it out.
I know, I'm like, oh, I've still got time, it's all good. But it's really like, I always just have this thing, right? Because I am so multi-passionate, and I do want to, you know, I do want to do so many big things with my life. So I always used to not want to have children because I thought children would hold me back in some way. And so, you know, my partner and I have really spoken about this, and we're like, we really want to be those people that like have children but still do exactly what they want to be doing in their life. And so, you know, I guess motherhood to me is going to be a beautiful journey, and you know, so much to learn, and I'm super excited about it, but also, you know, having children fit into also what we're doing and into our vision. So if that looks like us traveling the world, then they would be traveling the world as well. And yeah, just really incorporating them with everything that we're doing.
Time to kick up your feet and relax. It's On the Couch. Biggest fear?
Heights. Definitely. No, I was talking to my partner about this earlier, and we were saying heights, and fear of failure came up, but I'm so with you on what you said before around failure. It's like, you know, it's just one of those things, and it's like fail and fail fast. So I don't know. I'm not that scared of failure because I feel like I've been through all of that, and I know that I can pick myself up again. So yeah, it's probably heights in all honesty. Can't get me near rides, and you can't get me near like ladders or anything like that. Just scared.
What's your biggest struggle right now?
Right now, my struggle is, I would have to say, consistency.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's consistency. It's and because I am so multi-passionate, which means I'm multi-focused. So being consistent with everything that I've got going on, which can be overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so with consistency, is it consistency in like your day-to-day activities? Is it consistency when it comes to your message? Like, what is the consistent thing about? I ask this because I had this story going on for many, many, many years that consistency was my kryptonite.
Yeah.
And I couldn't be consistent at anything. And then I started to unpack it a little more and I was like, the evidence kind of supports that perhaps I am a little inconsistent in terms of writing blog posts or, you know what I mean? Like, there's different ways we can be consistent, right? So I make my bed every single day. It's like a little commitment that I made to myself, you know, probably about 20 months ago. And I've made it every single day. Even on Friday night, I caught up with a friend and I got hideously drunk. Not hideously drunk, but had a few too many. Spent the Saturday in bed, which I haven't done for years. But I still got up, made my bed, and then hopped back into it just so that I could remain consistent. That's so
awesome. I need a bit of that. I don't think I've made my bed in like forever.
The thing is, like, a friend actually said to me, and it came from my work on, you know, my work on myself. She had said it was when I first had Mabel and I was just really struggling with motherhood and struggling with the sense of, you know, loss of self and all those fun things that can come up during the early days of motherhood. And she had said to me, well, you know, what are just some really simple things that you do when you're feeling really good? And I was like, well, I make my bed because, I don't know, it just makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll take time out just to have a cup of tea. And I go for a walk. I go outside every day. You know, I make sure I have bare feet outside every day. And they were just tiny little things that literally wouldn't add up to more than 4 minutes. But when we're in a dark place, those things tend to go away, right? And so for me, it was like, no, I'm going to make a commitment to just these tiny, small actions because it's the small stuff. Like we say, don't sweat the small stuff, but it's the small stuff sometimes that just needs to shift in order for the big stuff to shift too, you know? So for me, the bed was about that. It was just about, you know, showing myself that, yeah, I could be consistent. I might not be consistent at blog posts. I might, you know, I certainly wasn't being consistent in my podcasting back then. And there were a lot of areas that I wasn't being consistent purely because I believed that I wasn't a consistent person. Mm-hmm. And then the bed proved it to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. It's one of those things, isn't it? It's like, I guess for me, Clint and I very much, we're like in super feminine energy, right? So like we can be like hustlers and we can get shit done. But then like the way we really tend to live our life is from a very flow-based point of view, and that's a positive psychology sort of statement as well, is, you know, we really flow. So that's why like I'll ask myself in the morning, you know, what is following my joy and excitement today? And I really go off a lot of like feeling and energy, and if I don't feel like working that day, I simply won't. Like, I'm just very much a feeling and flow-based person. However, that also means, and it was funny because yesterday we sat down with like a very strategical business coach. So he's like, no fluff, no bullshit. He's just like, you know, get shit done. And he's all about structure and systems. And so he's like, you know, for marketing, you know, you have to have like, you know, a post going out at the same time each Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and like was giving us this full systemized approach. And like part of me was like, oh, no, that's totally out of flow. However, that's where the consistency comes from. So like I will do business and I will do things basically when it feels good. So it's like I'm doing business most days because it feels good and I'm inspired. But there's not that regular like, all right, we've got a blog post going out at, you know, at lunchtime every Tuesday, and we, you know, there's like, I don't have that systemized approach to my business. And what I've realized in terms of consistency is that a little bit of that energy would most likely help a lot.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? Because I have like all the people that I work with in Radcasters with the podcasting side of things. One of the biggest issues that they have is this fear of being consistent too. And I always just say, like, yes, it is good to be consistent, but the good news is that you get to say what the consistency looks and feels like.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to post every Tuesday at 3:00 in the afternoon, There's actually nothing that says that you have to do that. Maybe, maybe, you know, your very masculine business coach with, you know, solid systems, he might say that, but it's our life, our rules too, you know? So if you don't want to be consistent in that way, and that's what really changed for Carlosophies was I was kind of doing it when I could find the time to do it. And let's be honest, sometimes I am very short on time. And if it's left to just leaving it to when I have time, it doesn't get done. But what I had to do was look at what was sustainable for me and what would fit into my life as it was. And then it's much easier to be consistent, right?
Totally, totally. And I think that, like, also an easy way to be consistent, especially in, if we're talking business, is to just have, like, some kind of system. So, you know, whether it's be that, okay, you write, you know, when you feel like writing, and then there's, you know, blogs that can go out, but then the team manage when they go out or something like that. Like, it's like there's definitely more that feeling and that flow type of energy that I work with, but then I do also understand that, like, a system and a consistent system is very beneficial. So,
I think that's really important note, because it's like, yes, you know, we have days where we are just super in flow and, you know, creation machines. And there's nothing that says that all the things that we create on that particular day have to make it out into the world on that particular day. They could easily be scheduled into future times, you know, because I think sometimes we just, like, life is like seasons and creation is like seasons too. You know, some days you are in flow and some days you're not. It's like the yin and the yang. And yeah, we just have to work within that, I think, sometimes.
Definitely.
So, you know, most of us have a bit of a recurring bitch in our heads telling us a bunch of untruths about ourselves. What does yours sound like? Does it still exist? And what do you hear it saying?
It's interesting because I really work a lot on negative self-talk and really reframing and reshaping them when it does come up. But there is this thing of, like, can I really do it? You know, like, am I just being an idiot? Should I be working in a job? Like, that's something that comes up even when I make, you know, more than what I would work, you know, if I was to go back to full-time work, I make way more now than what I did back then. But there's still this, like, thing that comes up of, like, you know, is this really real? Like, am I really doing this? And, you know, like, there's that question. But then, I mean, I quickly snap out of it because I'm like, come on, like, you know, what you're doing is great. But there is this, just this, like, little thing that pops up every now and again of, like, are you really... You know, can you really do this?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I thought about opening C Cup this morning, but I didn't. I mean, seriously, I have not worked for somebody else for over 15 years. I'm not sure that I'm even hireable these days, so stuck with myself.
That's it. Like, that's the thing. I'm totally unemployable. Like, I was terrible at a job. I was not a good employee.
Okay, and the last one on the negative side of things is, or negative as in, like, not good or bad, but just negative, failure. What does failure mean to you now?
Well, failure, I'm not sure if I can exactly define what that looks like to me, but whenever I hear that word failure, all I think is, you know, which we've spoken about, and fail and fail fast, because I think it's one of the greatest things that we can experience. And if you go through life without feeling you failed, then great. But, you know, the failures and whatever you want to call them, the challenges or the obstacles or whatever it is, you know, they're really there. And this is what I talk about as well, is a lot around alignment. And I always say, you know, whenever you feel like you're going through failure, usually it's a blessing, because it helps you to see that, you know, you're out of alignment in your life. And it helps you to look at, well, what do you want instead? And so every time I've failed, it's been challenging at the time, but, you know, it's ended up being my biggest blessings, and it's allowed me to get into alignment with what I truly want to be doing in this world.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, there's, I want to ask you this, right? So there's this whole thing that goes around, you know, never give up, never give up, never give up. How do you feel about that in contrast to fail and fail fast?
Yeah, I mean, never give up. I've definitely got that attitude, but I've also got the attitude of fail and fail fast. Like, I think if you fail, then pick yourself back up and, you know, sort out what you do want. So I definitely resonate with both of those. I'm like, yeah, cool, fail and fail fast, but also never give up on what you truly want. You know, yeah. Keep working towards it, keep chipping away, keep being resilient, and keep knowing that if you've got a setback or you've got a failure, you've got a challenge, then that's cool. Just work through it. Just, you know, keep going and don't give up, but also allow yourself to, you know, if you need some time off or you need to heal or you need to rest or whatever it is, allow yourself to do that and then work out what does feel in alignment.
Yeah, cool. And now success. What does success mean to you? What does it look like?
So when I think of success, I really think of wholeness. And I think of wholeness in a way of that, you know, life is quite balanced. And so even though there's going to be those things that pop up in different areas of our life, I look at success in a way where we're working on, you know, each area of our life to be balanced and to be whole. So, you know, for me, that looks like, you know, that I've got a good relationship with my partner and that I've got good relationships with others and I've got a good relationship with myself and I am looking after my body, mind and spirit and, you know, I'm doing the thing that I'm passionate about and I've got meaning and contribution. So whenever I hear that word success, I always think of wholeness and living in a whole way, in a balanced way.
That's cool. I really like that one. And freedom. What does it mean?
Freedom to me basically means getting to choose what you want to do with your life, you know, like, and also not having all of these big burdens. So when I hear people say things like, they're trapped in their job or, you know, they can't do this or they can't do that, I don't feel that that's freedom type of language. Whereas, you know, when we start to really tap into our greatness and start to really see that we can do what we want when we want and we can create the life that we truly desire, that's what freedom looks like for me. But also, you know, being free of, I brought up before around childhood stuff. Like I had a lot of childhood stuff that I really needed to clear. And, you know, and so for me, I now feel free, like my, in an emotional state, like I feel quite free. And in a choices, if we look at choices, I feel free in my choices. Like I get to wake up every day and do what I want when I want because I've designed my life around that. So there's a lot of different areas of freedom, but yeah, it's really, for me, it's about choosing what you want to do when you want to do it.
The plug. Instead of filling the podcast with self-promotion, we're being totally transparent. Here's the plug.
I have a new website that's being developed at the moment, which will be christyorr.com.au. You can go to my Influential Women Tribe page. So that's a community page on Facebook. So I put up events and masterminds and content in there. I also use my personal Facebook a lot, which is Christy Ords. That's KRISTIE and then Ord. And I also have a page for the Influential Women community, which is a Facebook page as well. So that's just under Influential Women. And I will soon be releasing my book, which is so close.
Oh, cool. So you finished?
No, not quite, but it's so close.
And are you self-publishing?
Yeah, I'm just releasing it online at the start. So cool. First of all, it'll be released online and then I'll look at publishing. But I've redone it so many times. It was a year ago, something completely different, and now it's like being revised and revised.
I totally hear you. I'm about, I don't know, maybe 30, 40,000 words into my book and it's changed a bunch of times. I've been writing it pretty much for the last 7 or 8 months. Totally. And it just feels like it's never going to finish because partly because I jump between these two places of like it feels really frivolous and irresponsible for me to be writing a book about myself and my life and I should be doing things more serious with my time and then flip and flop and flip and flop. And then there's extreme self-doubt that comes in too where it's like, yeah, I don't know. It can be paralyzing.
Not just about writing a book, it's like all the other stuff you've got to deal with as well.
Oh, Totally. Because I think that's the part that really scares me is the work starts when you finish the writing. And it's like, but the writing, it's been work because it's just been unpacking a lot of my stories. It's such a powerful process, writing.
It is. And it's really like I never used to think that I could write. Like I had this belief that I couldn't write. And it wasn't until I came across positive psychology and realized that writing was actually a suppressed gift of mine. So if I was to unleash that and actually start to bring, to do it more, it would actually energize me. So now I write and I love it and I feel completely energized. But then I find that there's like only specific moments where I get really inspired and really in flow with it. So I'm still trying to balance like being someone who never used to write to someone who now does write. But yeah, managing where I feel most inspired by writing. Because it's like sometimes I sit down to write my book and I'm like, nothing's coming out.
Yeah.
The takeaway: exercises or tips for positive change, sprinkled with salt and vinegar, wrapped in newspaper, and handed over the counter from our special guest to you.
Yeah, my biggest thing is really just do what you want to do. Like, just get out there and do exactly what you want to do, because I just believe we all have such a gift within inside of us that can be unleashed to the world, and we're doing a disservice to ourselves and to the world if we don't unleash it. So unleash it. Unleash you.
Sweet. Well, thank you so much for your time.
No worries, lovely. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning into Carlosophies. If you really dug this app, I'd love for you to share it with someone who you think might also dig it. Really helps me to spread the word. And if you'd like to get to know me a little better and see some in-between ep thoughts and insights and be around some super cool people, join my Facebook tribe, Show Up Speak Up. Search Show Up Speak Up in Facebook or head to carlynimmo.com/tribe. Until next time, be real, be rad. Peace out.